I am Pandarius, a scholar of Thera.
My name is Thorin. I hit people.
A tablet I translated could hold the key to stopping a demonic apocalypse at sundown.
Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Many will try to stop me from unlocking its secrets.
Oh, they'll try.
This would be my first adventure with Thorin.
Let's go!
As the Avatar of Green Eyes! Welcome to A Scholar's Journey.
The Mortalitas assassins exist in the darkest corners of the highest societies. Our numbers are few and our clients many. We provide assassins of both genders. If you can kill skillfully, efficiently, and silently, then you may have what it takes to be one of us. The structure of our organization is rigid and strict. The Mortalitas family, my family, is in command of our band of clandestine warriors. Our bloodline is special. It gifts us with increased speed, strength, and resilience, and we can regenerate from wounds at an increased rate. With these boons comes a sudden and growing bloodthirst, a family curse that shatters our sanity and turns us into ravenous ghouls. Even I, Davian Luna Mortalitas, leader of the Mortalitas Assassins, am haunted by fear of the moment when it will claim me.
Like demented puppets, eerie flickering shadows played games across the walls of the keep with the rising dawn. Curtains shifted with a slight morning breeze. Slowly, the hallway with its tiled stone floor was getting brighter as Sol and Sul rose higher in the sky. Many doors made of sturdy wood planks lined the upper hallway of the keep, designed to fit efficiently into a straight-sided space without any artistic presumption. One door stood out. It was bigger than the rest, and fashioned from a richly hued redwood. In the center, a gold-plated metal hammer was stamped into the wood. Another thing that made this door special was that, unlike the others, two guards watched it. They were dressed in white-washed breastplates with white-stitched gold-edged tabards underneath. At the center of each breastplate was a golden hammer, the small size of which denoted their rank. To complete their uniforms, each wore brown leather chaps. Both of them were bored. The dull white stone walls seemed to close in on them, and the lack of stimulation threatened to put them to sleep. Their boredom prevented them from catching details important to their survival. Long, thick wooden planks lined the ceiling supporting it. Sunlight from the low windows did not make it all the way up to the rafters, but dust drifted lazily down and twinkled as it reached the light beams. The guard seemed almost mesmerized by the sparkling rays, and were so distracted that they missed the most important detail of all. An unwanted guest. The first guard was thin and had scraggly teeth.
How much time we got left, bucko?
The other one was portly and shorter than his pal.
When are the boys coming to help? Are we gonna have to stand here all morning?
Hey, at least until that iron mighty type inside decides it be time to go out again.
The taller man picked his teeth with a shard of wood.
Them lads over near the gate were saying that he be some special speaker or something such as that. saying he'd be one of them higher-ups in the Order of Dalaran or some such stuff.
Oi, I heard of him. There'd be 16 voices in total, one for each of them gods, including old Dol himself. I read that in a book once.
What else your book be saying then? Out with it.
Said there'd be some kind of special wagon mouth for them gods. My reading be a bit lacking, so I did not make it all out.
You think we're gonna have to do this every day?
Oi, don't be looking to me for answers. Then sides don't matter none what them thinks nor what I think. Higher ups like Chancellor Merryweather, and her bodyguard believes him. That's why he gets his own room.
The thin guard looked over toward his friend who had been standing beside him. But he was not there anymore.
You playing a game with me, boyo?
The thin guard looked left and right, searching for his friend. At first, he was smiling. Then he realized that something was wrong. He scanned both sides of the hallway, but there was no sign of life. His eyes opened wide in alarm as he realized that his rotund friend had somehow disappeared into thin air. A creaking noise sounded from above the guard. He looked upwards and squinted, trying to pinpoint where the sound had come from.
Is that you, boyo?
There was a flitting movement as something darted past the corner of his eye, just above him.
Who's there?
He strained his eyes to look to the rafters. There was something there that he could not make out.
Who is that?
The figure sprang down from the shadows, and the last thing the guard saw was a sinister smile full of long ivory-hued fangs. Behind the ornate door was an office with mortared stone walls and four massive beams at the corners that supported the ceiling. It was as if the room had been prepared quickly not long before. Rich furnishings had been brought in. The drapes were ornate, with golden thread woven throughout the fine silk, while rich rugs woven with the same thread covered the floors. Toward the back wall was a large desk with scrolls on it, and many books held in place with gold-lined obsidian bookends. Ink quills had been set above a writing mat at the center of the desk. A man was standing in the dim room. He was wearing gray robes lined with gold silk, which were dotted with runes and embroidered figures of the god Dolron. He was watching the rising suns through a wood-framed window with his hands clasped behind his back. He was taller than most, with squared shoulders, an average build, and a dignified way of holding himself. His black hair was long and held in a neat ponytail with two royal blue ribbons. A well-trimmed beard swept to a point at his chin. His face masked his inner emotions perfectly, except for an air of perpetual disdain that marred his unnerving, unblinking gaze. He turned casually, walked around his desk, and looked up toward the rafters.
"'Tis rude to intrude on another man's room without introducing yourself. Creature, show thyself."
A black-furred creature, almost twice as tall as a man, dropped down from the rafters and landed on all fours. Its body was bulky and powerful, replete with rippling muscles. Despite its size, the creature landed almost silently. It bared its fangs and stared with yellow eyes, but in the sparse light of dawn, its features remained obscured. The man stared back at the creature impassively and brought his hand to his mouth, coughing slightly.
Oh. Excuse my lack of manners, good creature. Before we proceed with the coming nature of violence, might I introduce myself?
The creature did not respond with words. Instead, it slashed out with powerful claws. Diametri sidestepped with grace. His foot traced a pattern on the floor, and he avoided the attack entirely as he turned his back to the desk.
I warn you, creature. Attacking me would unleash the full might of Dolron's wrath. Though I admit, it has been some time since I last was able to stretch my legs.
The creature responded with a brutal downward smash of its fist. The attack would have killed Diametris if he had not moved gracefully out of the way. Instead, the blow landed on the desk and collapsed it into a broken V-shape.
So be it. Your unjust actions have unlocked the gates of my power. And according to the tenets of my god, you will know retribution.
The creature turned on him, ready to continue its assault. Diametris clasped both hands in prayer, with his eyes still locked squarely on the attacking shadow creature.
By Dolron's might, golden hammer burn bright, I call on the threads of justice. Bind my foe to reap his just reward!
Long, slender, golden threads of energy appeared out of thin air and shot toward the creature, wrapping around its limbs and binding them. Where the threads touched the being, they paralyzed it. It struggled for a few moments, but when it realized that its efforts were futile, it turned its gaze back to the speaker. It bared its fangs in a satisfied grin.
My name is Diametris Malus Aquatus, the first speaker of Dolron. Before I judge you, I would have yours.
You will be a perfect vessel.
Diametris shook his head in confusion.
Creature, who are you?
The beast collapsed to the ground. A malevolent indigo mist flowed from the Hulk's unconscious body and took a Theron shape. A single misty blue wing extended from its back. This new perversion that had manifested in the room stared full into Diametri's eyes with a glowing, deep, sapphire gaze. Diametri stared back, unafraid.
Ah, yes. Dolron's messengers advised me of your coming. Do it.
The creature of mist dove toward the speaker, and the golden threads binding the Hulk disappeared. Diametris slumped to the ground and did not move for many moments as the creature passed into and inhabited his body. Diametris and the demon Kestrel have formed a union that threatens the mortal realm in a way that it has not seen for multiple millennia. Who else has been sent to help Diametris in his quest? Find out in the next episode of A Scholar's Journey, Break the Silence.
We are taking over!